Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, I get stronger and stronger. All right, let's give the Lord one more hand clap before we get started. Praise God. Well, I am truly excited because I don't know if you've seen it or if you've had ears to hear or eyes to see, but God is moving in the world today. Did you know that? The Spirit of God is moving across the world today. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I encourage you maybe re-examine your algorithm, change your news outlets. They're probably not talking about it on Fox News or MSNBC, but God is moving. You know, like I've talked about it before, you know, they said just this last year that there was more paper Bibles, hard copy Bibles sold than ever before. There was an article in USA Today that said Generation Z is actually going to be the most church attending generation of any generation we've ever had. And, you know, over in France, we're seeing revival break out. People, college kids just sitting around praising God on an acoustic guitar. They don't got to have lights or fog or anything. They're just hungry for the Lord. Finland, we're seeing the same thing. And, you know, just this last week, it was pretty exciting. You know, we had some of our SEU students. They went down to SEU, Southeastern University in Florida. And while they were there in a chapel service, the Spirit of God fell and the service just didn't stop. It just kept going. They're still having service to this day, having all-day worship. People are getting baptized. People are rushing the altar, repenting for unconfessed sin, seeking God. My mom sent me a thing. She said, you know, that just a couple days later, the same thing broke out at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Why would I tell you that? Because you know what? I don't want to miss it. I don't want Church on the Rock to miss it. God is moving, and some of us, you know, we've gotten comfortable, and, you know, we're good. We don't need, you know, to press in, but you know what? These seats right here that you see that are empty in this place, they should bother you. They bother me. They should bother you. I'm tired of talking about what God used to do. I want to see him do those great things here. Like Pastor said today, I want to see a revival. I want to see an outpouring like we've never experienced before at Church on the Rock. Do you guys want to see that? Are you hungry for it? Are you comfortable? No, we're hungry for it. We're hungry for it. Now, this is Black History Month. We're celebrating it today. Thank you again for everybody that's made it possible. But I wanted to make today's message a little bit of a Sunday school. Is that cool? And I want to tell you about a revival that really changed the entire world. It was started and led by a black gentleman who really had everything going against him. But it was called the Azusa Street Revival. Has anyone heard of that revival before? And again, I'm going to put it on the screen right here. This is the Azusa Street Mission right there. And this revival, it happened around 1906. In fact, in just a few weeks, they're going to be celebrating the 120th anniversary of that revival. But it was special. It wasn't just like a church service that went long or people around the altar. This was something that went on for 7 years, 7 to 8 years. And thousands upon thousands of people got born again. I mean, tons and tons of people would pray all day long. They had all-night prayer meetings. They would fast. The Spirit of God would fall in these meetings, and I tell you, everybody would get filled with the Spirit. This is the revival that our charismatic movement was birthed out of. Many denominations came from this revival right here. Kojic, Charles Mason, the person that started Kojic, he went to this revival. God touched him in the Church of God in Christ was started out of this revival. The Assemblies of God, have you ever heard of that denomination, right? That came from right here. It has its roots in this revival right here. But God would do special, special things there. I remember one of the newspaper clippings I read said there was a meeting where there was 35 deaf people. This was documented. You could look it up. Sitting all in one row there in the mission. And as the people were singing, it said the Spirit of God came in like a cloud, a tangible presence, and landed right on these deaf folks, and every single one of the 35 were healed. They could all hear. There's another story of a little girl. She was 12. She was born with legs that were deformed, and they were out like this to the side. She had all kinds of braces and crutches. She couldn't get around. But as she was singing in one of these meetings, it said God miraculously touched her, and her legs straightened right back up. This is documented. This isn't just hearsay. This is documented in newspapers. She began to run and praise God, thank God. That's what I want to see here, Church of the Rock. Amen. Some of you are looking at me scared. But this meeting was amazing because not just was it a church meeting, it changed the spiritual temperature of the world. Missionaries were sent out. They sent out street preachers on the trolley cars all over LA, all over California, and it really turned the tide of Christianity in America. But the revival, it was started by this gentleman right here who we wanted to talk about. His name was William Seymour. And God really did something great with him because he really had everything going against him. William was actually born to emancipated slaves on a plantation in Louisiana. Extreme poverty. He wasn't educated. He had nothing, right? He was growing up in the middle of all those Jim Crow laws, right? Everybody would look over him. Everybody would exclude him, keep him out. And what made it even worse, at age 13, he contracted smallpox, and he went blind in one of his eyes. So he was not educated. But you know what? He realized and learned something early in his life, that the presence of God, the favor of God, can make up for all your deficiencies. The presence of God, the favor of God, being close to God, can take you further, even when man and society tries to keep you down. And so what he began to do is he began to seek God. You know, it tells us in his story that he actually used the Bible and taught himself how to read the Bible. And then they said that not only that, you know, as he began to grow up through his teenage years and early 20s, he would travel all across the United States to find moves of God. He would spend what little money he had just to be a part of it, just to be in God's presence, just to learn how to get closer to the Lord, because he knew that was the answer. He knew that's how that he was going to get past these setbacks. And so what he did was he just separated himself. He realized that God's presence was everything. And then he realized to get in God's presence, though, he had to be separate. He had to have a process. He had to have a protocol. There was a price to pay. And so that's what he began to do. He began to pray. He began to seek God. He began to fast. And then eventually he went to LA and he started that great, great revival. So here's the big idea of today's message, this little Sunday school teaching. Everyone still doing okay? Is that everything you need is in God's presence. Everything you need is in God's presence. You might be sitting here discouraged today. You might be directionless. You might feel looked over just like William Seymour. You might come from extreme poverty. But let me tell you, the answer is God's presence. You might be full of grief and heartbreak today. I don't know what you've come from. You might have a heavy, heavy burden that you walked in here with today. But the answer is God's presence. You know, Dad always used to say that when I was growing up. You know, people think it's politics. People think it's more laws. People think it's this person, that person, networking, or this college degree. But let me tell you, the only answer for the problems, the chaos, all the darkness we're facing today is the presence of God. You might have came in here restless today. You're anxious. You can't sleep at night. Exodus 33, verse 14 says, God tells Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You might have come in here today and maybe you're lonely. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The answer is his presence. You might have came in here today, you feel weak, you need strength. The answer is in God's presence. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. You might be here today, you might be depressed, you need joy. Maybe you're directionless. You don't know what your next step is. The answer is God's presence. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Again, I say to you the big idea today, everything you need is in the presence of God. The problem with the church today is we've gotten away from that. Our priorities are everything but that. The answer isn't self-help. The answer isn't your career. The answer is Jesus himself, his presence. But like I said, what William Seymour realized was that, and to get in the presence of God, there's a protocol. There's a process. And you might be saying, well, Daniel, what do you mean? Well, whenever you look through the Bible, whenever there was someone that was going to meet someone great, how many know there was a protocol? There was a preparation that took place. You know, in the ancient Eastern world, you didn't just run in before the king and say, hey, give me this, give me that. Did they do that? No, if you look back there, think about it. Think about some of our biblical examples, right? You think about Queen of Sheba when she went to see Solomon. What did she do? She had a whole bunch of gifts to bring him, right? It was a protocol, a process. Before she met him, she did all these things to honor him. Everyone know what I'm talking about? You know, you think about Esther. Before she met the king, she spent months and months of preparation getting ready to be in his presence. And you might be saying, Daniel, well, that's Old Testament. We don't need a protocol or a process or a pattern to get into the presence of God. Well, you're right. Because of Jesus, we can walk boldly into his throne room, right? But I believe that God honors pattern. I believe that God honors presence. You know, whenever we have Bishop Dale Bronner here, this is someone my dad highly esteems. Whenever Bishop Bronner comes and I see him and dad meet, this has been since I was a little guy, right? Dad will give Bishop Bronner a gift. And when Bishop Bronner walks into the room, what would dad do? Dad will stand to his feet and honor him, show him respect, right? What is dad doing? He's showing honor, which in turn is showing humility, right? Dad wants to learn from him. Right? Dad wants to glean from him. Dad needs his help. Isn't that right? And when he shows honor, it shows humility. Now, what does God say he does for those that are humble? He shows grace. He shows grace. Isn't that right? He resists the proud, but he shows grace. So in the same way, when we go before God, there's a process, a protocol that we should have before we just start spouting off everything. If you really want to get in God's presence, you really want to experience a new realm of a relationship with him, you can't just expect God to be a genie in a bottle. A lot of Christians, just like a five-minute prayer, you give Jesus like 2 minutes of your day, and you wonder why things are going crazy. You still like me, right? All right, this is Sunday school. It's right. You give Jesus this little point, you rush in, you rush out, and then, man, like when I really needed him, he didn't show up. You folks that are married, you know, you give your mate 2 minutes a day. That's not going to work, right? It's the same way with God. There's a protocol. There's a pattern if we want to get in the presence of God. So what I want to do is I want to bless you. How many have been reading your one-year Bible? You want your Bible? Some of us, all right? Well, I encourage you, even if you have, you can start today. I'd like to bless you with a gift from Pastor today. Our ushers are going to be passing this out. And it's called the Tabernacle Prayer Guide. Now, if you remember from our one-year Bible, we've been reading about Moses and the tabernacle. He's leading the people out of Israel. And God gives Moses these plans on a tent, a meeting place, where he can meet with Moses face-to-face. Everyone know what I'm talking about? You all remember that? All right, so we got a scripture here for Exodus 25 right here. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. And that's Exodus 25. Then in Exodus 33, you see he says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now that would all happen here in the tabernacle. Isn't that pretty cool? To speak face to face. Now, again, this is Old Testament, the tabernacle, but what my dad taught me when I was little was that we can actually use the tabernacle as a pattern for our own prayer time. How many, sometimes, you can be honest, you struggle to find stuff to pray for when you go to God in prayer. Anybody? Raise your hand high. Anybody struggle? Man, this is a group full of intercessors. No one struggles here. you know, when I struggle, man, like when I get there, you know, I remember mom will be like, we're praying 2 hours tonight. I'm like, oh my goodness, two hours. Right? Are we having a donut break or something in there, a fellowship time? But, you know, it's okay if you struggle. We all struggle. You know, they say that most Christians, they don't lack motivation to pray. They just don't know how to pray or what to pray for. So when I was little, my dad and mom, they went down to this church in Louisiana, and there was a pastor speaking there, an anointed man of God. His name was Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho. Has anyone heard of him? He was a pastor of a church in Seoul, Korea, that actually grew to 750,000 members. 750,000 members. And he gives he says that the secret to it all credit really belongs to his church's prayer ministry. They created this mountain called Prayer Mountain, and people would pray all day, all through the night, fast on this mountain all the time. And he said that's how the church grew so big. That's how they changed their city and had so much influence. Well, when Dad was down there, Dr. Cho, he said, you can take the tabernacle that we just learned about in Hold Your Bible, and you can take each one of those pieces of furniture, each one of those stations, and you can pray them in your prayer time. And it'll actually give you a pattern to usher you simply and easily right into the presence of God. Everyone following me? I know, like I said, this is Sunday school. This is a little deep for you. So everyone, do you have your tabernacle prayer guide? This is a precious gift. Please don't throw it on the floor. Please don't put your gum in it. Keep it with your Bible, because after you see how it's used, you'll understand. This is a special, special thing. Don't take this lightly, what we're going to talk about, okay? So here we go. Let's put the tabernacle up here on the screen. So you see the tabernacle, the instructions God gave Moses to build was this tent. Later on, it became a permanent place when they stopped moving, called the temple, right? But what we had here is we had an outer court with a fabric curtain that would go around there. And then you see we have in the outer court, there's two pieces of furniture we're going to look at. And then there's another tent there in the middle. It's called the Holy Place, which it was broken into two spots. And one spot was the Holy Place, and the other was the Holy of Holies. So this is what I'm going to do. We're going to turn to page one here. Let's actually turn on over to page two, the outer court. And I'm going to show you how you use this in your prayer time. Does that sound good? Y'all right? All right, so I'm going to show you how you use this in your prayer time and how it can simply and easily give you something to pray where you don't feel lost, you don't feel directionless. I don't know about you, but when I go to a gym or something like that, I don't have a plan. I just sit around and don't do much. Watch ESPN, and it's not very productive. So this is our plan for the spiritual gym, okay? Here we go. So first off, when a priest was going into the presence of God, he would come to the outer court, the gates right on the outside, that fabric. And it says here that Psalm 104, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and we praise his name. So the outer court stands for thanksgiving and praise. Everyone say thanksgiving and praise. So let's read it. The Israelites entered the tabernacle with thanksgiving and praise. And we can start our prayer time the same way. Begin by thanking God for who he is and what he's done. Praise him for his character. Thank him that he's faithful, that he's good, that he's merciful and present. Reflect on the moments where you've seen his kindness this week. So this is what this looks like. You get up early in the morning. How many early morning prayer people do I have here? Any? Okay, so you're the ones, you know, we got to have our coffee, right? You get your cup of coffee, and you go in there, and you don't necessarily feel like it. But like Pastor always says, right, our emotions follow our actions. So we go ahead, and we walk up and spiritually to the front of that outer gate. And you know what I begin to do is I begin to say, Lord, I thank you for how good you've been to me this week. Oh, God, I thank you for my family. God, I thank you, Lord, for all the times you've protected them. Lord, I thank you that they're serving the Lord. Lord, I thank you that they have a heart after you. God, I thank you that, God, you've paid my bills. You've given me a house to live in this morning. Lord, I thank you that I woke up. I have breath to breathe. I thank you my limbs are working. I thank you my arms are working. God, I think I got electricity today. God, I thank you that you brought me out of the miry pit. You put my feet on the rock to stay. God, I thank you. Save me, oh, Lord. You heal me. God, I thank you for the time Tamara was in the hospital, you healed her. God, I thank you. You see how that works? So when you start doing that, right, you have your blessing list out there. You have that list. Guess what? The time starts going. But that's how. That's the first step. That's what the priests would do before they could take the next step into that outer court. Make sense? So when we pray, we start our quiet time. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. could be 30 seconds, whatever it may be. That's where we're going to start, okay? All right, next we're going to move on to the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar, you see it right there. It was that first big piece of furniture as you walked into the court, and it stood for the cross of Jesus. Everyone say, the cross of Jesus. Say it again, the cross of Jesus. Psalms 103, verse 2 through 5. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord who forgives all your sins. In the Old Testament, everyone had to regularly bring animal sacrifices to the tabernacle as payment for their sins. But today, we don't have to do that because, praise God, Jesus paid for our sins once and for all with the blood on the cross. So what we want to do here is we want to reflect on these gifts from Christ's work. We want to think about his forgiveness of every sin. We want to think about his healing, that substitutionary work on the cross, physical, emotional, relational, and redemption that God gave us when he reclaimed what was lost. Daniel, what does that look like? So what I do after I started off with Thanksgiving for a while, the next thing I do is I close my eyes and I begin to picture the suffering Savior on the cross, his nails in his hands, his arms spread wide, his bloody brow, the pierced side, the feet, and I begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I thank you, Lord, because of your substitution for me. Lord, I can come boldly into the throne of grace. Lord, I thank you because of your substitution. You paid the price for me on the cross. Lord, that I'm forgiven of all my sins. We don't have to sacrifice animals every year to have favor with you, to be accepted by you. But because of what Jesus did, I'm accepted. And then I begin to think about all the things that I've been blessed with because of what he did on the cross. I said, Lord, because of the stripes on your back, Lord, I think I'm healed today. I thank you, God, because of the thorny crown that you wore on your head, I can have mental health today. I think your depression has no hold on me. I think anxiety can't control me because of what Jesus did on the cross. I begin to go right down through. I think about the stripes on his back. I think about the blood that was shed. And I just begin to remind myself of the identity. People might have said you're a loser. People might have said you're going to be nothing. But that cross says something totally different. After that altar, we're going to move on to the laver. Now, the laver, if you look there in your book, it's kind of like a glorified bird bath, right? It looks like a bird bath, right? Y'all see it in there? And it says here that the laver stands for cleansing and preparing your heart. Romans 12, verse 1 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. The laver was a bowl of water in the tabernacle where people would wash themselves. So invite God to search your heart and to cleanse you. Offer every part of yourself to his purpose. So even this morning, when I got here early, I was praying the tabernacle prayer, right? I did Thanksgiving. Then I focused on the cross. I thanked God for the cross. But then next, I moved on to the laver, right? And what that laver was, it was actually made of brass, and it was made of ladies' mirrors, right? The Israelite women, they made it of mirrors. And the reason was the priest and those going into that tent, they wanted to look at themselves and make sure that there was no imperfection on them before they went into the presence of God. There could be no rip in their clothing. There could be nothing on their face. They had to be perfect before they could go into that place. So what do? I say, God, search me. God, create in me a clean heart. Lord, examine me. God, every sin that is known, every sin that is unknown, God, forgive me. God, I don't want it. Anything that's displeasing to you, God, I don't want it. Search me, God. Only you know my motives. You truly know my motives. I don't even know myself. Oh, God, would you please forgive me? Then what I begin to do is I'll pull out the Ten Commandments. I actually start to go through some of the Ten Commandments sometimes, right? The first one, right? You shall have no other God before me. Man, God, do I have any other gods before you? Have I put my career? Have I put my family before you? Have I made time for all this other stuff and I just pushed you to the side? God, forgive me. Don't let anything be on the throne of my heart but you, Lord. Don't let anything be number one in my life but you. Then I can move on down. Honor your father and mother. God, this week did I disrespect my father? Did I disrespect my mother? Did I not take care of them when I should have? I just go right on down. You can go right through the Ten Commandments, and man, you'll find all kinds of stuff when you start going that way, right? Then another thing it says there, if you look there, it says, offer your body. Do you see that there on the, offer every part of yourself to his purposes. Another way you can pray the labor, right, is just begin to go through your body, right, and begin to dedicate the parts of your body to, Lord, I ask you, I give you my mind. Lord, forgive me for every thought that I thought was of unbelief this week. Forgive me for the times that I didn't believe your word. Lord, forgive me for the times I doubted you, the times I thought negative, the times that I just was swallowed up by fear. Then I moved down. God, take my eyes. Lord, forgive me if I looked lustfully on a woman this week. God, forgive me if I watched a TV show this week. This morning, I was even thinking about it in my quiet time. Somebody recommended a movie to me. I watched that movie this week, and man, I had to turn it off about 3/4 of the way because it just hurt my spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? It just felt, ugh. I knew I was hurting God. Well, today, you know, I said, God, forgive me for watching that movie. Then I moved down. God, my mouth, has there been words that I've spoken, God, that would cut, that would hurt others? Lord, forgive me of it. God, forgive me of it. Before I go into your presence, God, I want to get it right. That's the labor, number three. Number four. Let's move on. Now we're going to move inside the holy place. Everyone doing okay? All right. All right. Number four, we're going to the golden candlestick, right? And this means the Holy Spirit's filling. You can see the candlestick. I'm sure you've seen that in Jewish households before. It's a menorah, right? But it says here in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So the golden candlestick, it stands for the Holy Spirit's filling. Everyone say the Holy Spirit's filling. In the tabernacle, there was a candlestick, and the fire represented the Holy Spirit and our call to be a light in the world. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill, guide, and empower you. Pray through the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what I do here is I know that the Holy Spirit is the only part of the Trinity that's on the earth today. Did you all know that? God and Jesus, they're up in heaven, right? But the Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's our partner. So what I do is I invite the Holy Spirit to help me. Holy Spirit, I need you today. I need your counsel. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I can't do it on my own. I think I can sometimes, but I really can't do it on my own. Holy Spirit, come alongside me. Come alongside me. Number five, moving through here, the table of showbread. This is the next piece of furniture right across from the candlestick, and it stands for the Word of God. Everyone say the Word of God. Joshua 1 verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Next in the tabernacle was the table of showbread, holding 12 loaves that reminded Israel of God's constant presence and daily provision. Today this points us to the nourishment we receive as we spend time in our one-year Bible. Open scripture, let God feed your soul, read it slowly, reflect on a key phrase, and ask God what he wants you to obey, trust, or remember. End by claiming one promise to carry with you. So what do I do here? This is where we get out our one-year Bible. Everyone still got their one-year Bible, right? This is where you get out your one-year Bible. Instead of just trying to get it done and check it off, get through it, ha-ha, I got my one-year Bible done. No, what we do is we go slowly through it and we say, God, I need you to speak to me. Holy Spirit, I need a rhema word. I need you to illuminate something. I just don't want to just have a reading time. I need you to speak to me through your word. I need something that's going to feed me, that's going to sustain me through this day. You take it, you write it in your new Church on the Rock journal, right? You write it down in there what God's been speaking to you. Maybe you put it on a 3x5 card, or you put it on your iPhone right in the notes, and you take it with you, begin to just think about that verse that stuck out to you. Begin to quote it. Maybe like Pastor said today, Philippians 4, verse 19, right? My God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. And you just think about that all day, over and over. All right, number six. In this next section, this is the last little area, the altar of incense. It stands for worship in God's names. Everyone say worship in God's names. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So near the entrance to the Holy of Holies stood this altar of incense. Its continual smoke symbolized the prayers and worship of God's people. The station reminds us to pause, lift our hearts in worship and adoration. Let worship rise from your heart. So what I do right here is I spend time worshiping God for who he is. right? I focus on his character. Right before I was thanking him for things, it was Thanksgiving, but this is worship. I remind myself that he is a good God, that he wants good things from me. His nature is one of good, right? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father in heaven. Isn't that right? I remind myself that he's a God that doesn't lie. Right, Dad read that verse, that he's a God that never changes. And I begin to worship him. Maybe if I have a playlist on my phone for the tabernacle, I'll begin to play worship songs right there and just spend some time loving on him and focusing on his character and how good he's been. And then we're ready to walk into the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant, section 7 right there. And the Ark of the Covenant, it stands for intercession. Everyone say intercession. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. The final place in the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelled. There the priest would intercede on behalf of the people of God, just as we are called to intercede on behalf of those around us. End your prayer time by lifting others to God. So what do you do here? Well, in my prayer time, what I do, you know, the Bible tells us that we should intercede for others, and first and foremost should be those in authority. Right? So it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, doesn't matter what it is, right? But we are to lift them up in prayer before the Lord, right? So what I begin to do is I begin to pray for our president. Lord, I pray right now for our president. God, I pray that you, God, move your heart, his heart, whichever way it should go. Lord, I thank you for surrounding him with godly counsel. I thank you he hears your voice. He makes the right choice. I thank you for removing evil people from him. Lord, now I pray right now for our Congress, Lord. I thank you for the Senate. I thank you for the House of Representatives. God, I thank you for revival breaking out in those places of government. I thank you for changing their hearts. They're not there for their own gain, but they're there to put forth your word, your laws, and your principles in this land. So I begin to just go through, right? Those, my mayor, police officers, governor, right? Then I move to my family, Tamara, Ava, Ethan, Lana, right? Then I just keep going on out, interceding for others, making my requests known to God. You okay? So you understand how this works. So again, as the team comes out, our heart's cry for you is that you really have an experience with the Lord. You experience his presence, not just going to church, not just running through, you know, but you have a quiet time where you get in God's presence. That really is truly the only answer. If there's one thing you can make time for every day, it's this right here. And I know a lot of you, you want that, but you just don't know how. Well, today, Pastor gave us all a tool to get into the presence of God. Amen. So with every head bowed, with every eye closed, I just want to do an invitation right here at the end. I know I've gone a little long, but maybe you've come into this place today, and as we've been talking, you've been saying, man, Daniel, I don't have a relationship with God. You talked about William Seymour, and you talked about his relationship with God and how he paid to get into the presence of God. You talked about the tabernacle. This stuff is foreign to me. Where do I begin? How do I even start? Well, I point you back to that tabernacle, to that brazen altar. That brazen altar is through the cross of Jesus. That's how you enter into a relationship with God. That's how you get in good standing with him. Like I said before, back in the Old Testament, because of our sin and being separate, they had to sacrifice animals. But Jesus came along and he paid the price once and for all so you and I could have a relationship with God, so we could live in his presence each and every day of our life. Jesus did that. All you have to do is believe and receive him. There might be another group of you here today that as we've been talking, you would say, man, when Daniel was talking about nothing works and being lonely, anxious, and all this, you know, I wonder if I'm even walking in the presence of God. You haven't kept God priority in your life. You don't know where you stand with the Lord. I'm reminded of that scripture verse in Judges chapter 15. I think it's one of the scariest scripture verses in the Bible, where you all remember the story of Samson. Samson had this supernatural strength that God had given him as long as he lived separated. He lived close to him. But when he started doing wrong and he started letting other things become priority instead of God, guess what? He lost the presence. So he's with Delilah, and Delilah says to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. It says Samson jumps up and he gets ready to fight the Philistines, but guess what? God had left him. The presence had left him. The scariest thing in there is it says that Samson didn't even know it. He wasn't even aware of it. That might be you here today. And you know what? The answer for you is the exact same as the first category. It's returning to Jesus. It's rededicating your life anew. It's repenting today. Say, God, those things that I've let crowd you out, I give them up. I surrender them to you today. So if that's you in either one of those categories right now, I'd like for you to just lift your hand high. I'd like to pray with you. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. But lift your hand high in this place. Make a stand. Let God see it. Say, God, I want your presence in my life. God, I need you in my life. Come on, I'll wait for you. Raise your hand high. The Holy Spirit's moving in this place. Maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you've let other things take priority. God, I'm going to put you first today. All right. You could put all your hands down. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray this prayer together. It's found in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And basically, we are going to put our faith and trust in Jesus. This prayer is not just a prayer we say quickly to get out of church. People are being, man, their relationship with God is being restored today. And that's something we should be excited about. Amen. So let's say it like we mean it. Let's say it like we're excited. Let's make this declaration together. Dear Heavenly Father, let's do it better now. One more time. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that Jesus rose again on the third day. Now, Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for you. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.